This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm not able to hear the sound from my speakers at the moment. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We'll be beginning shortly, inshallah. If you can boost the sound, thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. It is a pleasure, alhamdulillah, to greet my dear brothers and sisters from different parts of the world through the beautiful facility of Islam Channel UK. Alhamdulillah, it's a great opportunity that we connect our hearts together, connect our spirits and souls together, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking that divine purpose of mahabba and the greater love of Allah through our service and contribution towards our fidelity as human beings, as brothers and sisters in mankind. I'm your brother Yahya Ibrahim, welcoming you to the special edition of Dhul Hijjah, mashallah. Myself and other contributors are taking a little bit of extra time with you. Rather than just our one-hour Islamic Q&A, we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to connect our hearts together, to connect with each other, to elevate each other, and inshallah, to bloom and foster positive relationships in our communities and yours. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes all of us successful in our pursuit, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors us, ennobles us in these blessed 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write for us Hajj again before our departure and return to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the reward of Hajj on account of the sincerity of our desire to have traveled and been there in those holy days and in these holy lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala console our grief at the loss of the thought of not being able to go to Hajj this year. May Allah open the pathways and the roadways for the believers, the righteous, and all of those who seek a return and repentance to Allah to find a pathway back to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope, inshallah, the time that we spend together in four separate sections, inshallah, over the next 2 hours with this special for Dhul Hijjah will be one that is both educational, relevant, contemporary, and practical for you. Things that you can take and immediately implement into your life and extend them past the month of Dhul Hijjah, inshallah. May these be lifelong changes that we make in ourselves on account of our seeking Qurba, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin with sending our salah and salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with what is known as a salah al-Ibrahimiyya, al-Durud al-Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ اللَّهُمَّ آمِينَ. Did you notice that I did not just send prayers and peace and salutations and benedictions upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the last of the messengers, Sayyidul Khalq, the best and the master of humanity, but I also included the name of Ibrahim or Abraham in a different recitation and different pronunciation of the Quran. Ibrahim alayhi salam is a central figure in Islam. He is referred to as Abu al-Anbiya, the father of the prophets, because from him spreads the lineage of both Ishaq, who is the child of Ibrahim from his wife Sarah, and of course his firstborn child, the great ancestral grandfather of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ismail. Now both of them are the children of Ibrahim, and many prophets have come from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam as an honor of Allah to his home, to his family. And therefore it becomes important for us to reflect why the name Ibrahim, from all of the other messengers, all of the other prophets, is highlighted in our salah. Keep and pay attention to the fact that no official prayer that you will make, whether an obligatory prayer, a janazah prayer, a Eid prayer, a prayer that you bow your head or not, janazah, we don't make sujood, we don't make ruku', but yet we cannot fulfill any salah, any prayer, without making mention of special prayers for our Nabi Muhammad and Ibrahim alayhi salam. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. Ibrahim is the nation. Peace and blessings be upon Ibrahim alayhi salam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya rabbal alameen wa ala nabiyina Muhammad zid wa tafaddal ya akram al akramin. Our Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is unlike other messengers of Allah. He is specifically mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran in very momentous, important points. Two main central figures were given as examples to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to replicate and to match their spirit and their teachings in faith, to teach the way they taught. One example was in Tawheed, what it means to single out Allah alone in oneness, what it means to be totally concentrating your effort with the creator of the heavens and the earth, what it means to face the persecution, the hardship that will come when you call to good and others reject it, what it means to free your heart of any love, of any hope, of any fear, of anything in a way that should only be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The example that's given to the Prophet ﷺ is Ibrahim. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ نَفْسَهُ. No one departs from the path of Ibrahim. No one departs from the way of life of Abraham, except one who has fooled and beguiled himself and others before God. Equally, the second central figure is Musa alayhi salam, Moses, Moshe alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam is the one who is given as an example of how to provide an example in using the laws of Allah. So Ibrahim is central in the faith and what it means to be a believer and how we implement our tawheed. And Musa alayhi salam is the central figure of what it means to be the lawgiver and distributor of the law to the people who will follow you. How to lead them upon a path of righteousness, to establish what is halal, to condemn what is haram, to prohibit what is evil, and to call people to that which is righteous. Now, as you're listening to me, if you do have a question, feel free to call in. We will be treating these sessions as an Islamic Q&A, as you have been accustomed to. Feel free to call in, inshallah, and we will do our best to take your calls, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam is that central figure, and Musa alayhi salam is that central figure. All of us know that these blessed 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah relate in one way or another to Ibrahim. But I want you to know they are not just for Ibrahim, but they are also for Musa and for Isa and other prophets and messengers. A simple example is Allah says it to us in the Quran, وَوَاعَدْنَا مُوسَى. I made a covenant and a promise to Moses that bring out of your host 70 رَجُلَ, 70 men to come and commune and to receive the instructions from Allah. And Allah says for 30 days that they were commanded to ascend to the Tur of Sina. Those 30 days is the month that just passed, Dhul Qi'dah. And then Allah says, وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ. Then I favored them with the 10 blessed days. What are those days? The Mufassirin tell us they are the days of Dhul Hijjah. Did Musa alayhi salam perform Hajj as is from his ancestral forefather Ibrahim? And the answer is yes. Musa alayhi salam married from the great-great-grandchildren of Ismail. He married Safura radiallahu anha, who was from the Arab, who were from the people of Madian, who were of the nomadic tribes of Arabia that would make Hajj. In fact, in Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the dowry that Musa promised to pay to the father of Safura radiallahu anha, ala an ta'jurani thamaniya hijaj, that you are to fulfill work with me in my tribe, in my people, for 8 Hajj cycles. Allahu Akbar. Musa alayhi salam, we know, and may Allah write for you a Hajj that you can pray in Masjid al-Khayf in Mina. In Mina, the Prophet alayhi salam prayed in a particular place, and he said, "Salla fi hadha sab'una nabi." 70 prophets prayed in this spot. وَمِنْهُمْ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. And of them was Musa, following in the footsteps of Ibrahim. So Musa عليه السلام is significant in these times, but no one from the prophets and messengers after our Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم is more central than Ibrahim and Ismail in this particular spirit of Hajj that we are going to commemorate. And I wanted, inshallah, to make my focus in the first 2 sessions that we have before we will be interrupted by Salatul Dhuhr live from Mecca al-Mukarramah in about 20 minutes, inshallah. We will have a break and intermission, and then we will continue with our discussion. I wanted to take a central focus of learning 5 important lessons that we can use today that will benefit our community, both for us as individuals, as families, as members of our masjid community, and the broader community where we may live, whether London or Australia, whether Canada or in Egypt. These are central values that we take from the relationship of Ibrahim alayhi salam in his journey with his relationship with Allah. Remember that Allah says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took in friendship Ibrahim alayhi salam as a khalil, one who became intimate with God, so loved by Allah that there was no separating between them. May Allah make us of those who attain a level of intimacy with our families and our community, with the masjid, and that connects us to Allah in like ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate us to the status of those who followed the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Let's take the first of 5 points, inshallah. We're going to study 5 points, 5 attributes of Ibrahim, 5 characteristics of Ibrahim, 5 lessons that we can take from Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam that can help us solve many of the problems that are facing us as Muslims today, young and old. First important point is to recognize that being a minority is not always a detriment and something that is a deficit, something that is a problem. And being a minority does not mean that you are not favored by God. Having a minority status does not mean that Allah has relinquished you, and that people who are larger in number, who have a greater gathering, who are more popular, who are more celebrated, who are more famous than the righteous, that they in fact have a greater place in society or in the sight and estimation of Allah. If we were to talk about Ibrahim alayhi salam in terms of numbers and sense, Ibrahim was a minority. Ibrahim alayhi salam at times was a numerical minority that Allah even speaks about him and other prophets in the Quran by saying, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيمٌ. Very few people accepted Ibrahim alayhi salam. You could count them on your hands in certain moments of his life. Sometimes it was just himself and his wife who were upon the truth. Sometimes himself and his wife and his nephew, Lut alayhi salam. Very few people came to accept the faith from Ibrahim, although he was a caller to Tawheed par excellence in a way that none after him achieved in its completeness, except our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah tells us in Surah An-Nahl, verse 120, Inna Ibrahima kana umma. Ibrahim on his own, but as one individual, was a whole nation. He was a nation of faith in his heart, a nation of faith in his commitment, a nation of faith in his ability to be patient and have sabr in the face of atrocities, a person who was a nation in terms of his calling people to the truth. The great Imams of Ahlul Sunnah, they would teach us this important lesson. أنت الجماعة وإن كنت وحدك. You are a jama'ah. You are the whole nation. You are a whole group, even if you are on your own, if what you're holding onto the truth. Sometimes we may look around us and feel a sense of victim mentality, that we look around us and we see, you know, people dressing in a way that we don't find acceptable by our standards as Muslims, that we dignify ourselves, we seek a conservative habit of clothing in a way that we believe as Muslims internally within us dignifies us in the presence of God and in the sight of people. But if you were to look around us in certain moments in society, in certain places, including Muslim populated countries, sometimes you will see that those who are conservative or dressed in their hijab or seeking to, you know, be pleasing to Allah in how they present themselves to others, sometimes they may assume that they are a minority, and that is not strange. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Bada al-Islamu gharib," Islam wherever and whenever, not just in the time of the Prophet, in any time, in any place, whenever Islam begins to take hold, it's always seen as being something distinct, something different, something distinct from what everybody else is doing. We're the same as everybody else. We want the same things as everybody else, but we are distinct. We hold ourselves to a higher level, or that's what it's supposed to be. May Allah forgive us, Ya Rabbi. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَى. And Islam shall return to having that estrangement and distinction, that people will look and say, wow, they're the only ones doing this. They're the only ones who keep these halal laws. They're the only ones who go out of their way in their attire. They're the only ones who seek to defend the name of the prophets and messengers, not just their Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're the ones who care for things that other people now ignore. They're the only ones who are cyclical in their prayer, 4 or 5 times a day, mashallah, Muslims, 5 times a day, regularity in salah. They're the only ones who part with their wealth in large numbers, hoping to go to perform Hajj. May Allah open the path. A minority status should never let us feel that we are victims or to have a victim mentality. And we should never speak like a victim. We should never act like a victim. And we should never present ourselves as victims towards other people. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who dignified Ibrahim even as a minority, as one. And no doubt, our numerical minority status in certain times and in certain places, not in terms of how many Muslims there are in the world, but how many Muslims adhere to Islam in a way that is meaningful, that becomes an important issue. You can be a numerical minority, but you can be a moral and ethical majority as an individual. By yourself, you can be a majority in terms of your ethics. And Ibrahim alayhi salam never, ever treated himself as a victim, never saw himself as downtrodden, never saw himself as defeated, never saw himself as one who was not equal to others or more. In fact, he would look upon those who wanted to oppress him in a way of compassion towards him. One of the most beautiful verses in the Quran is in Surah Ibrahim, a chapter that carries his name. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says, "فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي O Allah, those who follow me, فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي, count them as if they are with me." As you and I follow Ibrahim today, it is as if you are with him. You are his sahabi, even though you have not met him in this life. فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي, they are from me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, and O Allah, those who depart from me, those who disobey me, those who contradict me, work against me, go in oppression against me. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي, those who seek to disobey me in angering you, O Allah, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ, then you remain, O Allah, the forgiving, the merciful. Subhanallah. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's the one, he's the minority, but it's as if he is, looking down upon people who have turned away, even though they are in majority, asking Allah to forgive them, not to hold them accountable for their ignorance and for their trespass. The lesson, therefore, is that being a minority is not always bad. Being a minority builds resilience, builds toughness, builds vigor, builds patience, builds endurance, and can lead you to greater heights and successes as you move forward in life. In fact, if we look through our history as Muslims, we will see that as Muslims, we did our best as a nation of Muslims when we were in a state of minority. The Battle of Badr was in a minority. the battle of Khandaq within a minority, the battle of the Sahaba in the battle of Al-Qadisiyah was a minority. Never did the Prophet ﷺ have a majority except that Allah tested him in it. And when you are a minority, you know Allah is the one who is second with you, always with you. Al-Ma'iyyah ma'Allah, that Allah is always ma'ana. As the Prophet ﷺ, when he was a minority in the cave with just Abu Bakr, surrounded by the people and the combatants of Quraysh, as they wanted to murder him and take his life, Abu Bakr says, O Messenger of Allah, if they were to look beneath their feet, if they were just to look into the cave of Thawr, لَرَأَوْنَا, they would see us. The Prophet ﷺ said, have no sorrow, have no fear. How can you fear for those two of us when Allah is the third with us? Allah always sees us, always hears us, always has power over our situation. So the Prophet himself praised those who were minority, praised those who were distinct, praised those who at times had to endure to be of those who were successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. You will notice regularly that those who have a criminality, that they will jest and make fun of and belittle and ridicule the believers, those who believe. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And as the believers walk in peaceful way from a distance, you will see that they will be accosted by those who lack in faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. Allahumma ameen. And therefore, as Muslims, it becomes important for us to embrace our strength. Even when we are seemingly, numerically, small in number, unable to fend for ourselves, as it may seem, that our faith will always see us through. Those who follow the popular stand, those who seek populism, those who seek celebratory statuses, those who seek infamy and fame at the expense of their akhirah, seeking something fleeting in the dunya, are never those who will be successful. There will be no one who is popular in Jahannam. Iblis, la'anahullah, when he's in Jahannam, he will not be seen as a celebrated status, although he will have millions of followers who he has beguiled and deceived, that they have made the bad choices to lead him to follow in that negative path towards their own self-destruction. May Allah protect you and I from it. Allahumma ameen. And therefore, the path of Ibrahim is the path of the prophets of Allah who walked at times alone. The Prophet ﷺ says, and I share this from the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, from the statement of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that he said that the Prophet described the Day of Judgment, and in it the Prophet said that on the Day of Judgment there will be one prophet who will cross the Sirat, and I will cross with my ummah, we will be the largest nation, the largest number of people. And then after us there will be another large nation, and they will be Musa, they will be a large nation of people. And after them more and more and more, until there comes one prophet with nobody with him. May Allah accept from you and I. Join me after this intermittent break, inshallah, where we will continue with lessons from the life of Ibrahim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Was your brother Yahya Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ya Rabbi. For those following online, inshallah, I'll resume with a new link, inshallah.